What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back. This is the Deep Corner, episode 20. I'm Rob St. Clair, and joining me today is a very special guest from Team LVC and also using his graphic design chops for the VLA, Mr. Eric Martin. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How's it going? Honored to be here.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for hopping on. A really nice hoodie, by the way.
Yeah, I got to represent. Best league.
That's right.
Best league in the U.S.
We'll get to a bunch of graphic design stuff in a little bit because you have a unique set of hands on that whole situation. But first of all, how's quarantine treating you, man? We can't really do anything. We can't get out and play. Are you going insane or what?
Yeah, it's a little different not having volleyball in your life, right? So right now I'm sure I'd be coaching somewhere. Yeah, what is it, Thursday? I'd probably be just coming home from coaching. So yeah, it's a little quieter. It is a little bit of a nice change to be home for once in a while, hang out with a Puckett and,
this game sends us a lot of places. We travel a lot.
Yeah. I am definitely missing it. Don't get me wrong, but it's nice. It is nice to see the other side sometimes and have that downtime that you're not used to having. And, driving my wife crazy, convincing her to let me, do some projects and stuff like that that she might not want me to do, and working that in, so making a planner box next tomorrow, so we'll see
there
how
you
that
go
goes. Yeah, but getting back into some music, hitting the piano behind me a little bit.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that a little bit later. We've kind of got that little thing in common too.
Yeah, I know, man. I know you jam.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome, dude.
So let's start kind of at the beginning for you. Where does your volleyball journey begin? And the people might not be able to tell just by looking at you, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, you're the oldest player on any VLA roster. So we're going to get to that. But I think you are, because you've got Loy by about a year. And unless Lauren Gebert suits up, I think you've got
him. Right, yeah. Yeah, 72, December 72. So
wow.
I thought it was around the same time as Loy. But yeah, in Relat, I think I've got like a year on or something, like a couple months. But yeah, probably started way back goofing around back in before you guys were born. And church camp in the Poconos in Pennsylvania with the old pink eye dig ball that everybody markered up.
Oh man.
And, finally convinced my parents, that I would study if I could play sports. So we had men's volleyball, boys volleyball in high school in Eastern Pennsylvania. So, finally convinced them to let me do it and got in 11th grade and then played 12th grade my senior year. And then, obviously everybody gets the bug. So started playing club in college at James Madison and, was a little bit better physically. So could jump pretty well. So did a little of everything, hitting, passing, setting, so it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, I know you as a setter, but it doesn't surprise me to learn that in college you played a handful of different positions. That, do you think that was because you were kind of the best player all around at the time, or was that kind of the way the game was at the time where everybody kind of did everything? I don't know. I wasn't alive in the 80s.
Yeah. Obviously different playing, side out volleyball with the old leather tachikara bounce ball. So, it was a lot of fun, but you had to work for it. It was just a battle of, wills and a battle of like who could not die by the end of a 14 half hour, rally going back and forth and side out. But it was a little different. Everybody was more of an overall kind of player. Everybody had all the skills. I could obviously jump a little bit higher being a little short, but, kept me competitive with some of the taller guys, so we could at least be, on the same plane, if you will. So it was fun. Nowadays, though, it's just so much about speed, power, and it's actually so much fun. I'm not saying there's all these debates. I'm sure you've heard by lots of people, and a lot of my older friends obviously like the way it used to be, and me being able to play in both generations, I guess it's kind of fun just seeing how it evolves. The whole point is that you just got to be good anyway, regardless if it's, because every level growing up, I would play club, so you're seeing higher levels in adult volleyball, and it's always about speed and power. The height is always there, but it's the technical skills and the speed and the power and then you add a couple of the, you know, brain cells that make, you know, the smarter players that much better. But, you know, it's been real fun to watch it evolve, and it's just a beautiful game now.
It really is. Yeah, that you mentioned, that's kind of the blueprint of a player now. Speed, power, ball control, technical ability, and then a couple of little brain cells, and you got yourselves a volleyball player.
Yeah.
So what's after, over all the years that you've played, you've seen, like you mentioned, from the generation when you were playing college club to kind of the way volleyball is now, give me a couple of the big kind of milestones and what you think changed how the game was played. Because I can think of a couple steps along the way that really kind of changed the direction that volleyball was headed. But from your perspective, having played through all of it, what were some of the big ones?
It was funny because, you know, obviously the side out or the rally scoring change completely revamped your thought process.
Yeah.
You know, back in the, I could still remember, I think we were playing like some team in high school and we were down 14-10 and all, I, you know, jokingly in my head, I can still hear my coach yelling, you know, don't worry about it, chip away, you know, and that's because you're like, ah, yeah, dude, all we have to do is, just got to side out and we'll be fine. We'll get the serve back. Hopefully, you know, get the next point, work one point at a time. It was just a different mentality. It was really side out, you know, just take care of the ball side out. And nowadays, obviously there's, you can win on any point. So you really have to, that's where I find the skill is just a little bit better because you can't just get away with just, you know, hey, you know, if I miss a serve, no big deal.
Yeah, that's true.
Now it's like everything matters and it shows that if you have the skill, you're going to win a little bit more than the next guy. So that was an interesting change.
What year was that ish? Early 2000s?
Maybe like late 90s, something. It's obviously, you know, you're old, it becomes a blur, but funny thing is when I moved to the DC area, there's this thing called Chinese Nine Man.
Oh man.
I don't know if you ever heard it. Right?
I certainly have.
So obviously they're like, ah, you're Asian or Asian looking, you know, because I'm adopted, so I don't really get the Asian things sometimes, but yeah, man. And they're like, yeah, let's go play this crazy game. And I'm like, okay. And they're playing, you know, rally scoring to 21 on a low net, no penetration. You can throw, it was basically what sixes is almost becoming because you could double any ball. You just didn't majorly lift. So in essence, it's really similar to the way sixes kind of played. So when all of a sudden we started playing rally and I had been playing nine man for a few years, like I was overhand serve receiving, no big deal, because this is what we just kind of did in nine man, you know. And we had some big names in nine man. Kevin Wong was a big stud for many, many years, you know, even when he was at, I think, UCLA. So, you know, we had some talent, and it wasn't just like this crazy side thing that, you know, these little Asian guys do. There were some big honking dudes that were playing at the time, and it was really competitive, really fun. So learning that, and then all of a sudden playing sixes, it was kind of like, oh, it's not that bad. I can, it didn't hit me so hard to make that transition because we had been doing it during the summer times.
Anyway. Okay. Nine man, for anyone that hasn't seen it, is crazy. You talked about a couple of the rules a little bit, like you can't penetrate over the net while blocking at all. But when attacking, you can kind of like grab and throw the ball to tip it a little bit, right?
You basically, as long as you get it at its peak, you can wind up and dunk it.
Yeah,
it's
obviously there's nine people, which is nuts. The net's a little bit low. It's wild. Look it up on YouTube. You know more about where to find good examples of it than I do, but I've seen it just a little bit. It's crazy. It's very interesting.
Yeah, because it's always after like adult nationals, and then we'll go start the nine man summer season, and it ends in Labor Day, and it's just one of those fun, like really fun things. Good community, just like our, you know, BLA and you know, stuff like that. So it's just always good to see people, and it's the same thing. You're seeing guys that you've played for 20 plus years, and you know, having families, and now their kids are playing. So it's just one of those really cool, wonderful things volleyball does for you.
Oh yeah. That's what keeps us all doing it. What you in particular, at your age and at your height.
Thanks.
No offense.
I'm actually standing.
What other than the community, what keeps you doing it? You're still going out there, lacing it up, playing with the big boys, like playing with these 6'8", 22, 23, 24-year-olds who have grown up playing a completely different game than you ever have. And you're going out there and whatever, serving sub, playing defense, setting the offense sometimes, whatever you're doing, you're still doing it at your age. What keeps you going?
Yeah, you know, I think, and you, I'm sure you can relate to this, you know, I played club, so that perspective of always wanting to be better, right? And I obviously didn't go to school for volleyball. I went for design, graphic design, actually. And, you know, but still love playing sports and music and other things. But, you know, volleyball wasn't the focus. But after college, you know, I started playing a little bit more. It was just such a fun thing to do. And the community was so great, right? So, like, not having that D1 level or D2, whatever, college experience, you know, it kind of makes you a little hungry to want to, like, hey, I'm decent enough. I can hang. Let me see if I can just, you know, knock on the door, get my foot in, whatever it may be. So it was one of those things where, like, I was, you know, obviously good enough where I could compete. So you showcase what you can do. You get the trust of some friends. You move up to the next level, right? So then you're always kind of hungry to be like, okay, well, I see these guys. Like, you know, I remember going to nationals in my, like, early, like, mid-20s or so. And, you know, back then, like, open nationals was – basically like ex-national team guys and, you know, the studs of the world, and they're just playing for fun, and you're just going,
whoa.
Ugh. Yeah, dude, that's disgusting, right?
Yeah.
You know, and like the big names of like the 90s and 2000s, right? So you're like, okay, well, oh, now they're starting a league up. That's cool. Let me see if, you know. So I started playing with some guys, and I stopped playing with some of the teams in my area in Northern Virginia, and I started hooking up with Jiva. It was Jiva, but it was basically Hustle and Flow guys. Mm-hmm. And they had a couple studs on their team, and I was able to go in, and they were super kind to me. And I just walked in the very first tournament. I think I was like, yeah, I just want to be around good ball. You know how it is, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You just need to be around good ball. You got to learn some things, put in your dues. And they're like, you know, what do you want me to do? I'll play bro, you know, I'll back up, you know, whatever. And they're just like, oh yeah, go set. So I was like, okay. So I had some skilled players on the team, and we just ended up winning the tournament. And it was like one of those weird things. It was nice to see that I could use what I've learned, go in with new people, not know anything. But you know how it is. You get a little older, you get smarter, and then you realize, okay, well, you know, it's not anything new. It's just pay attention to what people like as a setter, set, and then just run the offense, and it worked out.
Yeah, so, it's just volleyball, you know, which is a weird way to put it, but the thousands and thousands and thousands of touches, you kind of know what to do at that point.
Yeah, it's funny because they had seen me play, so it wasn't like I was brand new to them. We've competed against each other, so they knew what I was about. And the same thing happened then going into LVC when basically Hustle and Flow, and I think that was like one of the first Jiva PBL teams back in the day. And I was like, well, we're not playing anymore, so let me see if I can. I remember this guy, Chris Hosley or something.
Yeah, that guy.
And I was just, that kind of weird guy. You know, I think he lifts weights. I don't know if he does
anything
else good.
Maybe, he might lift a few weights.
Yeah, as long as he has his VLA shirt on from what I remember. But he was like, yes, yeah, whatever, man, let's go play. So I started playing with those guys. And again, it was the same thing, just hungry to play, hungry to get better, hungry to learn. You know, I had many, many, many weekends where Puckett was nice and let me drive up to Jersey by myself, you know, a good four hours each way, come home tired on a Sunday or whatever. And it was just putting in your dues because I love the game. And I was fortunate enough to have people that, you know, trusted me enough that we won enough tournaments together, you know how that works. So you do well and you have a good time, and you show that you just care about the game, and it's just having a lot of fun with the right people. Chemistry is there. You kind of get opportunities to move on. And that's kind of how it worked out for me. It's just one of those things. You got to put in the time though.
That's right.
You know, you got to put in the hard work. It's not like I magically just showed up cause I'm old. And you know what I mean, and they needed like a mascot or something on the side to clap, but I mean, I do that pretty well anyway.
Sure,
but
do.
But you know, again, it shows, you know, like you said, they trust me enough to throw me in when they need. Sometimes it's important, sometimes it's not, but it's again, it's just doing my job when I need and helping the team and, you know, being around some of the best players in the world.
Yeah, surrounding yourself with good ball is something I can absolutely relate to. It's why I just love coming to all the events with you guys. Like, even if I'm not playing, which I would love to be, but like commentating is just as much fun for me just because I'm so engrossed with the game all the time. It's just a blast. Everyone just loves being around it. And being around the guys in particular is yeah. such a great part of it. So
yeah, and that's an amazing point too, because the camaraderie that
yes,
I've always found that really interesting. Because again, not having that college experience other than the club, but, you know, club is a little different. Seeing how everybody's so cool with everybody, you know, they appreciate the talent. You know, you see somebody on your side, and you can actually smile on the and joke, and it's not necessarily about being bitter or mad that they're beating you. You just kind of appreciate it, and it's one of those things, you know. Coaching, you can kind of teach that, you know, respect your opponents. Don't necessarily get bitter because they might be kicking your ass at that moment.
Yeah.
Actually understand what they're doing so well.
Yeah, it's
maybe
true.
Try to figure out how to counter versus getting so mad. So it's one of those things, you know, coaching, all the experience, you can kind of give back a little bit.
I think there's something about volleyball in particular that just lends itself to that. It's hard to put a finger on it, but it's so much easier for me in volleyball than any other sport that I can think of to, you know, be playing, like being a bitter, like intense competition against someone. And then later yeah. that day, you're like just kicking it on the sidelines, or you go out and meet yeah. up and with everyone else and you're out for the night. It's, I don't know yeah. how it lends itself to that just like magical community. That's just the way it is. It's amazing.
Yeah, there's that respect level for the most part, right?
Yeah, that's obviously, it. It's a respect.
Not everybody's going to get along, but we get that. But like for the most part, everybody's respecting everybody. And that's one of those things I found interesting too, from playing from lower levels all the way up to, you know, VLA level. All that goes away when you play with the guys that are really good.
A bunch of people have said that exact thing. And I think that's really interesting. It's like once you get yeah. to the exact same level in that moment, your resume mm-hmm. and your background doesn't matter at all. You're yeah. there. You are where you are, yeah. and you're playing with who you're playing with, and that's your opportunity to just kind of show what you got. And nobody's going to care about yeah. if you play college club.
Dude, it's so spot on, because like even some of my friends that I talk, you know, that ask me how's it going, and I say that's one of those key things. I always found like nobody's judging anybody. You're
right.
there for a reason, and because you're somehow there, nobody's going to give you any shit. They just go let's go, let's have fun. We trust that you have a certain skill set and go do it.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
So
and all the other levels, everybody, you know, everybody's scratching and clawing and thinking they're better than this and talking smack and, you know, puffing out their chest, and you're just like, you know, bro, man, come on, man. This is like we're just having a weekend. It's a weekend, right?
For right. Yeah. In adult volleyball, just doesn't happen like it does at the, you know, the levels when people are really trying to make a name for themselves. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So of all the years and years and years that you've played and coached and whatever, I'm wondering if you have a story that stands out about where you've, let's say, played above your height that's listed on the roster. Do you have a story where, like, I don't know, somebody is, you know, taking this little Asian guy trying to block him or something for granted, and you come out of nowhere and make a great move on someone? I don't know. I feel like after all the years, you've got to have a story about that, right?
Yeah, there's probably like two or three or so, but God, what was it? One of my buddies, Sean Callahan, he played at Club at Tech, and he remembers these stories better than I
know.
Do,
I know Sean. Yeah, Sean.
Yeah,
Sean,
you know,
coach.
Callie.
Yeah, Sean coaches Tech still.
Tech. Yep.
I really
yep.
like that guy. He coached against me in college.
He roofed the crap out of me because he was a great middle blocker back in the day, and I was the outside hitter. Yeah, and. Yeah, so we, you know, obviously connected up after graduating and everything, and we would play some of these Asian tournaments, but it was sixes, right? So it was kind of like the same nine-man community, but, you know, in winter time, right? And they'd have some cash tournaments and stuff like that. And there was this one dude, because I was hitting outside at the time. So there's this one dude on the other side, this setter looks, this right side or whatever, looks at the setter, and he kind of goes, "Man, give me the ball, man.
Are you serious?
There's a little turd over here, right?" And I'm, of course, just, you know, I'm oblivious around him. I'm just like, "Hey, how's it going?" And my buddy Callahan, who was playing middle, just goes, grabs me. He's like, "Did you hear what he said?" And I was like, you know, what? He's like, "He said, he's going to hit over you. And I was like, what? You know, and I was like 20 something. So I'm just going, ah, no, no way, dude.
I'll go get him.
You're not going to hit over me. Yeah, no. You know, and of course I'm starting to puff out my chest. I'm going, okay, all right, here. Go ahead. You set him. So he just throws up, you know, one of these back sets. And obviously I could jump a little bit better and, you know, basically reached over in the net and clamped the boy and he had no chance. And it was just like one of those, it lands faster than
you know, either
of
the players do.
Yeah. And my feet were still in the air and we're just all looking at him. And my buddy just goes nuts. Like Larry Mo Curly, just looking at him going, I told you not to set him. Why did you set him? You're such an idiot. And we just started, I just started laughing. I'm like, it was just one of those times where you're like, yeah, you know, it worked out.
Oh man. You just live for those. That's awesome.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. It was just one of those funny moments where it all worked out and you're in your favor that time because this guy's talking smack and you're like, oh, really? Go ahead. You might win, but not this time.
Yeah, I don't care what the result of the match was. You got him that one.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think they ever set him again.
That's right.
Stop.
That's
just,
right.
Just stop.
That's over.
Please
at that
stop.
Point.
You're embarrassing yourself.
Oh, man. All right. I tried this with Marsh on my last interview, which was really fun.
Marshy.
It's this little segment, a super quick, like quick hitting interview questions that I hit him with. So prepare yourself. I'm about to just throw these at you really quick and just give me kind of the first answer that comes into your head. You ready for this?
All right, man. All right. I'm old. Just take it with a grain of salt. I'm focusing here.
Early mornings or late nights?
Late night.
Best pregame warm-up song?
Ooh. I like classical music, so it'll be something classical.
That's pretty lame, but I appreciate that as a musician.
Thank you.
Hey, I got you. What's the worst day of the week?
Probably moon days.
Okay. What's better, Stuff Block or Service Ace?
Can I say tie?
No.
Ace.
Okay. What's the best post-game meal, post-tournament meal?
Oh, pizza. Any.
That's exactly what Marsh said.
Yeah.
What's the hard?
Many pieces of pizza with Marsh.
Right. What's the hardest position in volleyball?
Middle.
What's your favorite jersey number?
Opposite 13 now. That's what I rep for LVC.
Okay. Cats or dogs?
Come on, man. I have two cats, so I'll just go with cats. Nice. I love dogs. I'm just saying.
I like cats too. I'm definitely a cat guy. What's the ideal height? What height do you wish you could be?
Not 5'5". let's go with 5'10".
Okay.
I know that's not a lot, but for me.
it's all relative. What's your favorite sports team of all time?
Anything Philly.
Okay. And what's stronger, loving winning or hating losing?
Probably hating losing.
I actually love that question. I'm really fascinated by people's answers to that question.
Well, it sees everybody's mindset, right? Because like, it's funny because you know if you think about it, when you do win, this is not for everybody, obviously, but for me, it's like, isn't that what we were supposed to do? Now I love that we won. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it's like we're here to win. So like, when you do win, it's like, oh, I appreciate it. You know, hashtag blessed.
Like yes, mission accomplished.
Yeah, but that's what we came out to do. So let's go have a beer and let's go on to the next. But like when you don't win, you're kind of like, I'm one of those guys that like, okay, well, on that play, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
You know, over analytical. But yeah, the hating the lose kind of drives you to kind of get that win sometimes.
Yeah, that's a good answer. I love hearing people's responses to that. I also found it interesting that you said middle was the hardest position. It's funny because Marshman said that center was the hardest position.
That's respect, right?
It is. Respect.
The amount the middles do without sometimes getting the reward or actually even that thought of how they impacted the play.
We talked about that exact thing in my interview with Marsh. It's cool to hear you say that, having probably never played middle.
Well, it's like, as a setter, it's like, you know, the easiest thing to do is set the middle, set the stage, right?
Yeah.
It's the easiest correlation is, okay, you set up the run in football so you can play action pass.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
It's a no-brainer. It's so obvious.
Very
right?
good analogy.
But if you don't run the middle is going to go, knows exactly where you're going to go, lean in left and right, whatever, right side, left side, doesn't matter. So if you establish that middle and you just make that middle hesitate for just enough time with the way the ball is played now with this, like we're talking about speed, you don't have to run these 1980 combo plays when you know you're when you're running, hey guys, let's run the X play.
Yeah, run the X.
Cool. Let's do the inside out, you know, like come on, like, okay, was it fun? Absolutely. But it's not the way the game is now. All you need to do is just to mess with the other opponent's middle. And as soon as that middle leans or shifts, you have so many options. The way the players are so freaking dynamic.
Yeah, you've
nowadays,
got them right where you want them.
Is this, if the setter's smart enough to realize who, how the middle's leaning, what you've been setting in the past couple sets, how to go away, counterflow, you know, all the stuff that everybody knows. But you know, those are the things that make it easy. And that's, but the middle is so hard to establish and to have that middle transition left and right. I mean, think about it. I'm a setter, right? Maybe I'm in front row, maybe I'm back row. I kind of, you know, guys are so good at passing, I just walk up and set the ball.
You know what I'm saying? How hard could it be?
Yeah, I mean, and maybe it's a slight bit more brain power. I'll maybe concede that, but like the middle's physically doing so much stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Middle is physically really, really difficult, especially the blocking area of the game. Marsh gave a nice little crash course on like kind of how to read block at the high levels. It's really hard. Yeah. It's very, very hard.
Think about all the progressions that are going. Yeah. Right? You got to take care. Your middle knew who the hot guy in the back row, and then what's going in the front row, and you know what's your 1-2-3-4 or 1-A-1-B. You know, and not to overcommit and stay neutral. How do you stay neutral when there's four or five attacks?
You don't. You don't.
Right? You know, so
it's a hard job.
Yeah.
So you nailed the quick hitting questions, by the way. Well done.
Thank God. Thank God.
So I want to talk about your kind of creative half of your life a little bit. Let's the music thing first, because you and I definitely have that in common. You told me earlier you were playing trumpet, right, all through college?
Yeah, I did the whole play the piano, and then I picked up the trumpet and played trumpet all the way through college. I mean, I did laugh here. I did, you know, the marching band. I did pep bands and basketball. I did the show choir band, man. Dude, we toured around over spring break.
Wow.
Like I played in the Americana stage on Epcot. Like we did a gig there, man.
I actually did too. I did that in high school.
Yeah. So you know, like it's so wild, right? It's crazy because here's what I love, right? I was lucky enough to have a teacher who was like the ultimate professional, right? So, and I credit a lot of the things that I learned, you know, and I try to teach in volleyball to kind of the way he taught me how to play trumpet, right? And it's always, you know, it's not, you know, practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect.
That's right.
And, you know, you do all your hard work while you're practicing, right? That's where you burn, you churn, right? And you make your mistakes and you're okay with the, you know, the process. But then when you go out and play, you just put on a show. You entertain your audience. You're not worried about flubs. Man, it happens all the time, right? But you try your best to put on a show for your audience. And it's the same thing in coaching, right? You got to tell these girls that mistakes are okay. It's okay to go through the process. Because these are, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16, even 17-year-old girls, right? They're so worried about coaches yelling and making mistakes instead of just going, you know, I'm just here to learn. And if I can play free and have fun, put on a show, it'll all work out, right? So I was lucky. My teacher was like, you know, doing Glenn Miller orchestra, playing perfect, like, yeah, like he calls me
big
up, he's
time
like, hey,
trumpet
man,
player.
Yeah, I can't make the lesson. I'm going out to London to direct a Glenn Miller orchestra. I'm like, yeah, I'll take this week off, I guess, man. That's pretty rad, dude. It's like he was, and it just was taught to me at a very young age how to do something you love the right way.
That's, I seem to draw a lot of comparisons with being a musician and being an athlete in general, but for some reason it just correlates to volleyball for me. And a lot of the reasons is like what you were saying, because being a musician is very, very technical, and learning the skills to be a high level volleyball player is similarly very technical. And the way that you have to kind of process and learn those things and just like you said, just burn it out in the practice format is honestly really similar. And when you're on stage or when you're on the court, it's just, you know, execute and have a great time.
Yeah. You're just putting on a concert, another concert, man.
I mean,
whether you're part of the band, one of the soloists, whatever, it's, you know, you're just like, you know, you're learning a bass lick, right? You're not going to learn like 8 bars. You're going to start with 3 or 4, right? Or whatever the hard one is, right? Then you learn the one before to lead up so that you can, you know, work your way to it. So you do serve and pass.
Yeah, you break it down. Set, right? You break it down to the most manageable level, the one that you can, you know, understand, and then you nail that, and then you move up. It's the same thing.
Yeah, and you're so right about the technical part, right? Because everybody has their idea of what technical is, so that's great, and it's wonderful that we all share it, and you learn that what, you know, you learn it the right way, you know, whatever your coach is trying to tell you. Hopefully, it's the right way, you know. you figure out how to be so technical. It just reminds me, one of my buddies I used to play with, you know, when I first moved here, he used to call me Technical E. And I think he still does it now and then when he sees me, right? Or we catch up or whatever. And he's just like, because I cared about being so technically sound because I'm a shorter, smaller player. I have to make up.
It's true.
What I don't have in height and maybe speed by being technically proficient. And like you said, it just easily translates from music to volleyball. Yeah. Or at least volleyball. I mean, I'm sure it does for other sports, but just the way you have, your mentality has to be thinking, right? And being so technical that it's just like practicing, you know, your instrument, right? And getting on your axe.
I personally think of both music and volleyball in a very left-brained way. Like I'm thinking about very kind of breaking it down and logically sort of, and less creatively thinking than the average musician, which is okay because it kind of translates into people's, you know, styles of being a musician and styles of volleyball play. But also another cool thing that blends the ideas of left brain technical proficiency with right brain, like, you know, pull it out of thin air creativity is graphic design. Which is what you went to school for. And you've been kind of the guy that the VLA has leaned on so far for a bunch of our graphics. So I want to break that down a little bit. First of all, are you responsible for the logo that you're wearing right now?
I did it on this computer that I'm talking on now. I think it was back one of the tournaments sometime last year, and we were all chatting, and you know, some of the directors were getting together, and I kind of told Coley, I was like, look, I'm having such a good time with all this, man. If you need any help with anything, you know, I can provide this. I actually can help with design stuff. And she was like, noted.
Yeah.
So she was like, hey, so Vince has been wonderful too. So Vince is pretty much, you know, doing the media. So anything kind of he needs, I've been able to work up for him. So like I said, anything to help out the VLA, it's just been, you know, it's an honor to do it. So anything I can do, help out.
Yeah. Let's break it down a little more. And cause I've always been really interested in kind of sports graphics and sports aesthetics and, you know, logos, typefaces, uniforms, like the whole branding of the thing. Oh yeah. Show that logo off.
Yeah.
So like talk through me a little bit, what you did there with that logo first, like, talk typeface, talk color theory, talk like the star and the A, the whole thing. Like, what were you thinking there?
Yeah. Well, to their credit, like Vince and Coley had some ideas already outlined. So that made it easier for me being the customer. So they kind of came back with, okay, well, we kind of want to go with this. We know we kind of want to do this X, Y, and Z. Right. So that made it easy. And, we wanted to definitely we didn't want to overdo anything. If that makes sense. Right. Some of the best logos I remember going to a class where, you know, the WWF, the Panda logo designer, I wish I could remember his name, but I took a class from him, and it was all about the three R's, right? It's reusable, reducible, and another one, right? Cause I'm so stupid. it's just like the Nike logo, right?
Yep.
Why does everybody love the Nike logo, right? It's recognizable.
That's it. Yeah.
First R, reducible, which means you can use it on any application. You know, so what did I say? Reducible,
recognizable,
reducible.
Is reusable the other one? You've nailed it. You've pinpointed the things about kind of what makes a great brand icon. It's
just like Apple.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Simple is better, right? So we were just trying to strive for something that didn't need to be overdone, overspoken, simple, but yet. So we had a bunch of versions and stuff like that, and we had some other elements to the logo. And it's almost like one of those things where you have to almost do those kind of things that everybody thinks might happen just so you can prove that you know you don't want that, right?
Okay, yeah.
So we whittled a similar this layout, and basically because of the simplicity of the typeface, which I'm not remembering off the top of my head, it might be like a Verdana or something like that. But what I try to do is just use the angles in the V's and then keep, and I basically inverted this V, put a star in, yeah, and then chiseled out. So then you could see the negative space going through the L. So then it just had this nice little kind of comfortable feel where, again, it's not overspoken. You know it right away. You don't, it can be shrunk to as small as it needs to be. The reusable part is that even though we wanted to go with like a two kind of color scheme here, you can make it a one color.
Easy.
You can make it anything you want, and it's not restrictive. So it can have personality along with somebody else. So like a Team Pineapple can have yellow and green for all we care, because it doesn't matter. It's not going to break one of those things where like other logos might have to have it has to be all one color. It has to be all two. So we wanted to have something that has a lot of flexibility within that logo. So we can make it one color. You can make it two color. You can make, as long as it's either, you know, like the two and one, we're good. Doesn't matter, or all one, but it doesn't matter what color. So again, it just makes it easier for across any application.
Yeah, you guys nailed it on the details too. The like you said, inverting the V, having the perfectly parallel lines between the slants of the V and the A there, the little negative space over the L, the angles of the star. I think it's perfect. You nailed it on the little details that make something more comfortable and familiar feeling, I think, from a graphics point of view.
Yeah, it wasn't so simple where we're just like keying in three letters and calling it a day. There was a little bit of thought behind it, but again, it's just enough where, like you said, it makes it feel good, makes it feel comfortable. You kind of enjoy it. Simple enough. You know, I always go back and forth when I see the logo and, you know, people are wearing the shirt or whatever. And I was like, you know, could I have done more? But the more I think about it, I'm still sitting with it with a good feeling, if you will. Yeah. So I'm not thinking we needed to have more or less. It's just about right. And it's, you know, obviously it's on me because I'm the one doing it. So I always have these thoughts in my head. So, but other than that, it's working and everybody's enjoying it. So it kind of, that's all you can ask for.
Job well done.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen all of these so far, but on the VLA Volleyball Instagram, we've got all five teams have their uniforms released. I wanted to get a little bit of your thoughts on these. Did you have any input to these, by the way, or was that all Smack Sportswear?
I had a little input. So three of the teams I designed.
Okay. Which three?
Obviously we did LPC. Mm-hmm. And then because I was working with Vince.
I'm looking Ascension at him here on my phone.
Yeah. So I did Ascension, and I actually, he needed help with a new logo. So he wanted to get his logo updated. So I updated that logo.
Solid.
And then just carried on into the whole, hey, let's just do the uniform. So theirs came out real sweet, man. Just the kind of the way we could use that logo almost as a base for a uniform. And then
here it is. It's that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
It's awesome.
So, you know, it's not overdone. It's just well done enough. You know what I mean? So
it's going to look sweet when those get out on the court.
Oh yeah. And then the Iceman ones. So Tim asked if I could help out with that. And that was actually a real fun process because, you know, we did a little bit of tweaking to the old logo, again, which was one of those things where you could recognize what it was, but we needed to simplify it. So we kind of worked a few iterations on simplifying it to the point where, okay, it was just where we needed it, maybe two, three colors, but we could knock it down to two. It was still, you know, usable everywhere. And then doing his uniforms, just kind of incorporating that kind of Top Gun feel without, you know, completely making it Top Gun, but almost, you know, enough where they really wanted it. So it the colors came out nice and they're all three, you know, all the uniforms are freaking awesome.
They're sweet. Smack
does a great job, right?
They're sweet.
But, you know, obviously I'll love those three slightly more.
Yeah, everyone go check those out. And if you're watching on YouTube, leave us a comment. Give us your power rankings on the uniform. Give us a 1 through 5. Everybody who's watching this, I'm really curious to see what's on the top of everyone's list. So I honestly can't really pick right now on my own.
They're all pretty good. I mean, obviously, I'm biased to the
Flamingo. Dude, the Flamingo, you know, is so tight. Flamingo is so cool.
My man, yeah. Yeah, so
and fun. I'm not just saying that because Hosley sent me a LVC Flamingo sweatshirt.
that guy. It's good to have a heat press.
That's right. Awesome. Yeah, that helps. All right. But before we get you out of here, I want to ask an interesting graphics question. Take your time on this. What do you think in like professional sports, maybe ever? Give me your top three, maybe top five, like sports uniform team looks of all time, like logo, uniforms, like typefaces, word marks, kind of the whole like brand identity. If you have a top couple sports teams of all time, let me hear your thoughts.
See, that's so tough, right?
Bonus points if they're not from Philly.
Damn it. I will say this. One of my favorites is the Philadelphia Flyers.
Oh, the Flyers are outstanding. The black and orange.
Right. Yeah. But so I don't know if you've noticed this, but their puck with the wings logo, that hasn't changed since 1965 or whatever, whenever they came to the league, 66. That is the same exact logo. And that, again, is why that brand is so powerful, because they haven't needed to change anything. It's simple enough. It gets the point across, and you can change, you know, you can work with any application. So it's wonderful. It's one of those wonderful things. It's been around for a long, long time. It's super fantastic. Trying to think what other sports. I actually thought remember when the Broncos changed to their uniform?
In the Elway years, yeah, with
as he was getting the Super Bowl
98, yeah, because they beat the Packers that year, which sucks because I'm a big Packers fan. Yeah, that was the very first year of the navy, the kind of modern looking, you know, the continuous orange stripe up the sides.
Yeah,
and Bronco logo on the helmet's always been really good.
And I think that was one of those starting of the trends of you know, simplifying but making it modern, sleeker. And it was one of those first ones that really hit, right? Because it was used to be the big D with the Bronco coming out through it, but this one was just so sleek and so nice. And then the way they did the colors, you know, just really, it really stood out, and that kind of almost broke the trend. Then everybody wanted to jump on
that
bandwagon.
Right. Yeah, that style, that kind of wrote the book for the 2000s decade of football uniforms. And my criticism of it is that they still have the same one. It might be kind of time for a change in the year 2020. But the whole, pretty much the whole half the NFL adopted that, and all of the NCAA, by the way, adopted that kind of look starting in 02, 03. You know, they all kind of got on that simple, modern kind of look. That's a good call on that one.
Yeah, because it did set the trend, and everybody had that. Okay, well, I need to make my, you know, Falcon look even sleeker, you know. So one other one, without doing a Philly team, man, that is impossible.
how about basketball? I've got a couple in mind.
I thought the way the Mavericks did theirs, and that might have been in that same vein way back, it was just a little more unique, you know, the way they kind of converted that horse into the horse.
The horse
into
the basketball.
You know, yeah. I thought that was pretty good. But I'll tell you what I did like. I like the Raptors, the way they did the basketball with the
like the claws coming through. That's a sweet logo. That's an outstanding logo.
Yeah, and that one I thought did a really good job. And the other ones are all real good. It's just ones are unique. So that one obviously can really works well because it's a Raptor, it's a basketball. It all syncs up really quickly and easily. And
yeah.
Like that, you're going, oh, yeah, duh, of course it makes sense.
Duh,
but you don't think about it. You just think it's a basketball, and then you go, oh, like a Raptor.
Yeah, the best logos are the ones that when, like, the instant they release someone there, they update them, you're like, oh yeah, it's like I've been looking at that for years. I know exactly what team that belongs to. And with the VLA logo, that thing's going to be on our stuff for years and years and years. Like, oh yeah, I know exactly what that is.
Yeah, let's hope, right?
Right, yeah, the more people we have watching these interviews, the more people we have watching matches when we get back on the floor, that logo is going to be a lot of places. So
you can't wait.
You people watching this, you've got this guy E to thank for the logo that you're about to be seeing all over the place.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. It's just like I said, it's good to be part of BLA, man. Just whatever I can do. It's a great group of guys. Everybody's on, just all in.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a tough time that we can't put matches out on the floor, but as soon as we can,
Yeah.
we will. Everybody stay tuned to all our socials. We're gonna have some COVID related updates coming out in the next week or two. I don't even know. But when that does happen, I'll get someone in the know on the show to kind of explain what's going on. So stay tuned. In the meantime, E, thanks so much for joining us, man.
My man, absolutely.
We will see you the next time that it's safe to do so. And we'll see everyone else in the next episode.
Yeah, and I'm definitely gonna jump on the mic with you one time because
Oh,
I keep trying to scare you, but I'm gonna actually do it
I would
because I'm
love
getting
that.
old, man. I gotta do something else right
I
now.
would love that. I love having people talk volley with me. It's my favorite thing to
Yeah,
do.
dude. Yeah, you do so well. We really appreciate all the stuff you do. So, thank you for all your stuff, and support and all your work,
Thank you,
man. It's
man.
awesome.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah,
Yeah.
it means a lot.
Just sucks we can't hang out, man.
Soon.
Yeah, dude.
All right, everyone.
Absolutely.
We'll see y'all in the next episode. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you later.